Good evening and welcome to NBC News. We here at NBC want all of the American people watching at home to know that we are constantly trying to bring you what's blue. I mean true. Guys, can we fix the teleprompter? Let's do it again. Welcome to Unapologetic Live. Happy Friday, guys. Hope you guys are having a good day. And like always, drop your weekend plans in the comment section down below. My weekend is going to consist of, I don't know, sitting at home.
Writing more dope introductory scripts like that one.
No, we don't plan those over the weekend. We always do them 5 seconds before we go live. So
that is true. That would they would be robbed of their originality and spontaneity right. If we did them over the weekend.
That is exactly right. Now, we're going to get into some media fails today, which is just happening constantly leading into the midterms. We probably won't talk too much about the midterms and voting. We'll just wait to see how that pans out. But NBC in particular has been having a pretty rough go of things when it comes to what their media personalities are saying, the angles they're trying to go for when it comes to speaking to the American people. And I hope it's not falling on deaf ears because it is actually hilarious. We're going to start off with Joy Reid, who says Republicans, quote, taught people the word inflation. Most people have never used that word ever in their lives. Of course, she's saying this because a lot of Americans are concerned about the state of the economy in the present day, and it's probably going to influence what they do at the polls in the midterms. So here's what Joy Reid had to say about inflation as an issue.
The people I ever hear use the word inflation are journalists and economists, right? So that is not part of the normal lexicon of the way people talk. So it's interesting that Republicans are doing something they don't normally do, right? Which is not use the common tongue, right? Not use just common English to sort of do on their campaigns like they're doing with crime. But what they've done is they've taught people the word inflation, right? Yeah. Most people who would have never used that word ever in their lives are using it now because they've been taught it, including on TV, including in newspapers. They've been taught this word, and they sort of wrap this word around whatever it is that they really want to vote, the reasons they really want to vote. The people I ever heard hear.
She can't even get it out because it's just so ridiculous what she's trying to say. Like, you guys didn't know what inflation is? I get it that we're all probably not economists walking around discussing the state of inflation and how it's affecting our pocketbooks. But we know that when we're going to buy gas and we're paying, what did I pay the other day? $6.88 per gallon of gas. I think we can look at that and go, I feel like there's a little bit of inflation happening right now. Or when you go to buy groceries and you realize that what you're getting from your paycheck is not quite consistent with how much you're paying for the food that you're using to feed yourself and your family. I think we can all recognize when we are dealing with inflation. And of course, it's a hot button issue because it's a hot button problem that everybody's dealing with right now and everybody's seeing. And what a condescending thing to say that you've just been taught the word. You're just parroting talking points from the Republican candidates who are feeding you new definitions of apparently new words that are not a part of the American lexicon.
Yeah, gas isn't actually expensive. It's just a right-wing conspiracy to make you believe it's expensive by teaching. It's not the fact that things are actually unaffordable and it's $6.80 a gallon here in California. It's just what the right wing is making you believe about these things.
And it's always what they do, man. It's so crazy. I think, like, right off the top of my head, think about what happened with critical race theory. Is we caught on to what they were doing in schools and we recognized the name of it was critical race theory because it was a law theory written and practiced and taught that then got distilled down for young people and was placed in our public education system. And then we went, look, there's critical race theory in the school. Check your kids' Halloween candy for critical race theory. Look for it because it's in there. I swear they injected it in there. And then they go, we've never heard of critical race theory. It's only ever taught in Harvard. You guys are just making up words or stealing words and then changing the definition and reteaching it to people and then accusing us of it. We have not done anything wrong.
Yeah, we're definitely at the stage that's like, it's not happening, or it's a conspiracy or something. And pretty soon we're going to be at the, yes, inflation's happening and it's great. And I think there actually already have been articles from the Washington Post where they're like, you know, you just need to lower your expectations and inflation, here's the good side of it.
Yeah.
And that type of thing we've already seen.
We've seen that.
Joy actually needs to catch up to the narrative here, because she's a little just behind by trying to gaslight us into, the rest of the media has already kind of moved on. So I think that's why this is so funny.
Now I'm like, they're gaslighting us. Like, we should go to therapy for how hard they're gaslighting us. They're quite literally trying to make you feel like you're insane. They did the same thing with recession. You remember the press secretary being like, oh, we're not in a recession. We have a new definition of what that word means. It's no longer two quarters of decline. That's not a recession. It's not a recession anymore. I don't know where you guys got that definition. I don't know what economics class taught you that. And we're like, it's always been the definition. No. There's a new one. So we're not there. So don't use the word. And anybody who does use the word is just boogeymanning you. Is trying to scare you and fearmonger you. Same thing with woman. Oh, woman? Oh, what is that? Oh, no, we changed that definition. We changed the definition this year? Merriam-Webster changed the definition of woman. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about when you say a woman anymore. I don't know what you're referring to when you say inflation. It's just a boogeyman. Dude, come on. And the... Like, I can't separate the condescending nature of her saying that. They truly think that you are stupid enough to listen to them and go, oh, yeah, I guess they did just make that up. Makes sense. Because that's what right-wingers do. They just make stuff up. But then when you head to the grocery store and things are more expensive, you go, oh, I'm supposed to turn a blind eye because Troy Reed said it's not happening. So that must not be. Maybe MSNBC is sending you cash back in the mail. We just haven't gotten it yet. Because inflation's not happening, guys. It's not affecting us at all. And here's a tweet from Unusual Wales. It says, 63% of Americans support the idea of new stimulus checks to combat inflation.
Oh, Lord.
According to a Newsweek poll. And I think Matt Walsh responded to it. I was trying to find his response. I think I have it here. What'd he say? He said something like, 63% of Americans support Krispy Kreme giving out donuts to combat obesity. Yeah. It's literally the same thing. And you know, the View recently did this whole statement about Republican women and right-wing women and saying right-wing women are like roaches who are advocating for Raid. This tweet exemplifies that. And of course, the whole internet lit up and said, how dare you call right-wing women roaches and all these things. And I don't think that's exactly what she was saying. I think she was going for an analogy. So I'll give her grace in that respect. But this is exactly what this tweet exemplifies. 63% of roaches support Raid.
Yeah. It is concerning that, you know, I think to the degree that Joy Reid meant Americans don't know what inflation means, she may have a point here, but Americans know that something is wrong with the economy, and that's clear. So this, to me, this Unusual Wales tweet or this Newsweek poll that says 63% of Americans want more stimulus checks just speaks to a very bad failure of our education system to let Americans know what it causes inflation, which is an oversupply of money. And so anyways, that's concerning that people are uneducated on these issues. But for Joy Reid to spin it as inflation is a white ring conspiracy is quite a stretch.
And that's the thing. Of course, people are going to become more educated on the circumstances that they're now facing.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't facing it previously, they had no interest in looking up what inflation meant. And I even checked because I saw that and I thought, OK, let's check the Google Trends for inflation. And there's a clear uptick in people looking into the word inflation. This huge spike here, which I believe, what is that, in June of this year? Mm. And of course, getting a little bit more as we're starting to talk about it in the news. But of course, people are looking up the things that they're dealing with in trying to understand what's happening. Because if I'm an 18-year-old person and I'm used to paying, I don't know, $3-something for gas, not here in California, probably never had that in a very long time, but if I'm used to paying $3-something for gas and then I show up a few months later to fill up my car and it's now $5-something, I'm going to go, well, maybe I don't have a word for what that is, but what's going on? And why are gas prices so high? And then they go, hey, gas prices are high due to inflation. And then you go, well, what's inflation? And of course, people start to look it up and attribute it to something and try to find a source for their problems and or a simple definition of the problem that they're facing. And that would be inflation. So to make it sound as if Republicans are just boogeymanning people and injecting the word inflation into the American lexicon, it should be in the American lexicon anyways, because we should all be informed on what that is and the possibility of that happening in our time. But it's because we're actually facing it.
Yeah, and hopefully we are getting educated on inflation so that we would not vote for more stimulus checks and pumping more money out of thin air into the economy, which would exacerbate inflation more fully.
Paying off people's student loans and
stuff. Yeah, more free stuff for more people.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you, Joy Reid, for that. And we all know it's not real. Inflation's not actually happening, and everything's the same as it was before. In fact, we're better off as a country than we ever have been before. Now, let's look at this other one. This one was wild. Matt Walsh tweeted this out. This is how the NBC show New Amsterdam portrayed the overturning of Roe versus Wade. It's honestly one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Unintentional parody. Great stuff. Is it going to be one of those things where it's like, where were you when they overturned Roe versus Wade?
Oh, yeah. Where were you when the world stopped turning?
And Roe versus Wade got overturned.
They're totally putting it in the same category as September 11th on this.
And I don't mean to make light of people's situations and people being worried about something like Roe versus Wade being overturned, because I think there is space for genuine concern about that. But when you see this New Amsterdam clip, you will understand why I just giggled.
Yeah, we've talked about the way the left catastrophizes everything. This is catastrophization to the extreme. To the extreme so much so that you could easily mistake it for parody.
You really could. Let's take a look at it. Here we go. You would think he's, like, standing over his dead father by looking into this guy's eyes.
Cue soft piano music.
What a sad, sad man. Oh, and he's looking at his little daughter. Oh, and she's smiling. What's wrong, Daddy? Oh, and he's crushed. Oh, the phone drop. I can't.
Just wait. They're getting the news. Here it comes.
Oh, everybody simultaneously is getting the news.
The slow motion cup.
It's like an Amber Alert. Everybody's phone goes off. Oh gosh, they're hugging each other. Dude, the music. I cannot.
Are we meant to think that's a lesbian couple worried about this?
Don't know. Maybe they're just a group of interracial friends.
Maybe.
Got the daughter happily coming down the stairs. Another, what's wrong, Daddy?
Daddy, what's wrong?
You have no rights, my girl.
Gone.
Is that the end of it? No, there's more. Oh, gosh, there's more. Oh, I have to run.
Where's she going?
I don't know. To her husband, maybe? I don't know where she's running. I can't work right now. Can't deal with this news. Oh my. Everybody's in the same state of shock. Like, imagine if you saw this in real life. You would think a plague was just unleashed on the earth.
Yeah. No one has a dissident opinion or has any nuance about this. It's
everybody feels the exact same way.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Dude.
There you have it, folks.
I mean, they call it a dramatization for a reason, because that is what that was. I mean, obviously we saw some people who were pretty upset when Roe versus Wade got overturned. Like, there's no denying that.
Remember the TikTok compilations? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. I mean, like, people shrieking in their houses alone while also putting their phone on a tripod to film it. People scratching their faces. Yeah. Girls already set up outside the Supreme Court to be protesting. But it's insinuating that we just went through this collective era of just peak sadness over really what is an overturning of something that was not meant to be handled by the Supreme Court and is now gone to the states.
Yeah. And the irony that this show is set in New York. So
Maybe they all did collectively.
It doesn't
feel that
change
way.
Anything.
Maybe in New York, they did all collectively feel that way, and there was a collective gasp.
Right, but in their state's laws are not going to change at all. So it's not going to affect any of them that are freaking out like this, or that dad with his daughter or anything.
So yeah. Oh my gosh, it's like the... I don't know. All I'm just saying is that is unbelievable. I want to see what some of the replies are to this. I'm actually scared. I can't believe they actually included the slow motion dramatic cup drop. That was already a cliche in like 1995.
That was very on the nose. I mean, all this, it was very contrived.
It was like if SNL wanted to parody a situation like this, although they never would. But if they did, that is what it would look like.
Oh yeah. All it was missing was like a MAGA Republican like beating up a woman in the background and celebrating the news or something like that. That's like the only way this could have been more on the nose.
A few white men cheering in the streets outside the Supreme Court is what we were missing.
Exactly.
NBC, do better. Do better, because we deserved representation during this moment of Roe versus Wade getting overturned. Wow. I don't have any other piece of commentary other than just, wow, that is insane. Anyways, I don't know if that was a recent episode of New Amsterdam or this was something that they released closer to that decision
happening.
I think
it just came out.
Okay.
But it was about that, yeah.
And I imagine, yeah, if it just came out, it's probably pretty helpful for them to put out a message like that at this time. And I think we all know what's coming up in 2 days. So I imagine that's why they felt the need to put out an episode like that if they released it this week.
Because again, we know Americans don't even know what inflation is. They're not concerned about any of those issues.
Right.
They're just concerned about Roe.
Inflation, who never heard of her. Schools, well, they're not teaching critical race theory anyways, and they're certainly not teaching gender theory. Crime, never met her. ACAB, am I right? Not concerned about any of that stuff. Just abortions. And yeah, I mean, for young women, that probably is what's going to happen. You saw an uptick in registered young female voters when the whole Roe versus Wade overturned in Gen Z. But I wonder if they're actually going to turn out. That's the thing. Because I can imagine there being a lot of heat in the moment and women being like, I'm going to go register right now. And then the time comes and they're like, the polling location's 2 miles away.
Yeah, that was kind of a hot take from you. So you thought the Gen Z will not turn out to vote as much.
Yeah, I mean, I could be shocked. You know, this past election, Gen Z had a huge turnout and was like shocking. So I think it could happen. I struggle to think that Gen Zers view midterms as important as they view presidential elections and that they understand that those actually are in so many ways more important. So I'm curious to see. You also have mail-in ballots, but I'm also like, do they know how to send something in the mail? Dude.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a checkbook, so mailing things just feels like very antiquated when I have to do it.
I'll be honest. The only reason I know how to mail things is because I used to ship things for a business that I was doing a while ago. So that's the only reason I really know how to mail things, and I've never mailed anything since. So does the average Gen Z person know how to mail in a ballot? And if they don't, are they going to go to their polling location and vote? I don't know. Maybe I just like am super pessimistic about it and they actually are going to turn out. And, Lord knows there's a bunch of people trying to streamline the process for him. Now they're like, you go on Instagram and it's like, vote through Instagram. You know, are you done listening to Call Her Daddy podcast? Why don't you register to vote? Which is exactly what they're
doing. Since you're being so well informed on the issues through your content choices.
Right. It's just like, oh, you like this person on TikTok? What if Obama shows up in their TikTok? Which is so funny because it segues right into the next thing. We'll get back to the NBC fails. Don't you worry.
There are more.
But wait, there's more. If you call now, let's look at Obama appearing in people's TikToks.
It's Monday night and here's what's happened.
B. What are you doing under my desk?
Well, under the desk is kind of my thing. I mean,
but here's the thing. You can stay for now, but when it comes time to voting, you're going to have to get up because you've got climate change legislation on the ballot. You've got gun safety. And if we can elect more pro-choice members of Congress, we can reinstitute Roe versus Wade as the law of the land. So you can't stay here. You're going to have to take a little bit of time to vote.
It's now a bad time to say that I voted for McCain in 2008.
As long as you voted, it's okay.
Go to iwillvote.com and I will see you at the polls. Monday night.
I wonder how effective this is. TikTok is a tool. I understand why people are using it. Like, I've seen other candidates start making, like, dance videos on TikTok and telling people to go out and vote. And they hired and paid the girl from Call Her Daddy, I forget what her name is, but the girl who hosts that podcast, probably a large sum of money for her to encourage her listeners to go out and vote. Mind you, her podcast is typically about like having sex with guys and how to do it and who does it and talking to like Gen Z celebrities and everything. Not to say that those type of people should not vote, but it's just very clear the funding behind it and what they're trying to convey and who they're trying to get out to vote. It's like that BLK music video that we watched of the black people dancing around and twerking and saying, no voting, no V-U-C-K-I-N-G, fucking, in their music video to encourage black people to go out and vote. It's just so interesting. It's almost as if they feel they can't get people to show up based on the issues alone. Like, people aren't motivated based on the issues and what you're presenting to them to go to the polls. And if they're not, you have to use things like TikToks and what, Billie Eilish and the girl from Call Her Daddy to get people to vote? Are those really the people that you want out there doing it?
Yeah, and isn't it kind of posting your L's to say, we want as many ignorant young people who are melting their minds on TikTok, mm-hmm. or that all we think of our audience is that they fall for this TikTok influencer nonsense, like the White House right. intern or the no voting, no fucking stuff. That's how highly we think of our voter base.
Exactly.
We think if we can get those type of people out to the polls, then we'll win. It's like, yep. is that really who you want to be mobilizing? But the answer is yes, because they rely on people who they, by their own admission, think are ignorant.
Yep,
because they want. They think that that'll get them the vote.
Yep.
And then you add to that the whole illegal immigration thing.
Dude, it's wild. It is wild what's going on. And I'll give this person a little credit, this woman here, because she actually reports news on TikTok. So I'll give her that. And she's clearly left-leaning. So I guess if you're going to encourage people to vote, hopefully it's people who actually are keeping up with the news and what's happening and know what they're voting for. So I'll give her that. But also, like, come on, Billie Eilish, Call Her Daddy, Olivia Rodrigo talking about who they're going to take care of. It's just... Yeah.
Dylan Mulvaney, Cooper, the White House intern, dearest me.
The list goes on.
Do you think that was a woman that she really voted for McCain?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know why. I'll take her at her word.
Yeah, I guess it'd be a really random bit to throw in there. Yeah. If not, but yeah. That's interesting.
I'll take her at her word. They've also been like parading around Oprah. I think she went to Pennsylvania the other day to encourage people to get out and vote and everything. And they're just like, look, happy black person. Don't you guys identify with this? And if you don't, you ain't black. I don't need to tell you who said that. You guys can figure it out.
Jack.
Now let's move back into the NBC space and look at this NBC reporter saying that voter ID laws disproportionately impact trans people. And it's so funny because in this clip is my girl Sophie Barron, and she's actually a friend of mine, runs a great organization called The Conversationalist, so you should definitely go check her out. I'm not sure that she endorses the message that they then say after her appearance on NBC, but cool girl, check her out.
Good to see you. And as Gen Z gears up to hit the polls, transgender voters are concerned they might be blocked from casting their ballots.
Yeah, that's because a growing number of states are enforcing stricter voter identification laws that disproportionately impact the community.
NBC Out reporter Joe Yerkeba joins us now with more on this. Joe, good morning to you. So first of all, how can voter ID laws create obstacles for transgender people? And where do we see some of the strictest voter ID laws?
Sure. Yeah. So voter ID laws disproportionately impact trans people because trans people are more likely to have IDs without the name that they go by and the gender marker that reflects how they present. And recent research shows that just over 200,000 eligible trans voters in 31 states that both conduct their elections mostly in person and require or request ID at the polls don't have IDs that reflect their gender identities and the names they go by.
It's so funny. Okay, so listen to what was just said there. So they're saying that it's going to be a hard time for trans voters because their IDs don't reflect the name that they made up to identify as. So that's a problem for them. And it also doesn't have the gender identity, which they also made up, on their ID cards. And then she throws out this stat of what, like 200,000 trans people across the United States don't have an identification card that matches their name and their gender. Yeah, duh. Of course they don't. Because most of these people have just adopted these identities in, what, the past few years? So of course there's 200,000 trans people who do not have IDs that reflect that. And again, they're using this, and they intro the issue as if this means there's a problem with ID laws. Not that there's a problem with the identity politics, not that there's a problem with maybe identifying as something that is not your biological sex, but no, it's a problem with the laws. Therefore, we need to roll back the laws. And it's interesting because we know they tried this really hard with black people. They said voter ID is racist because black people don't have IDs and they're disproportionately going to be affected by this. And then 69% of black Americans said, no, you should have ID. And they pulled this and they said, no, we're not stupid. We know how to go get IDs. And if I want to vote, I can get myself identified within the several year span that I have in order to go and vote in the elections that I feel are important. So 69% of black Americans said, what the hell are you talking about? So now they're like, oh, can't use black people anymore. They're waking up. They're realizing that we're using them. Trans people. It's perfect. Because their presentation is not going to match the IDs. Which, whose fault is that? Like, if I go and make myself look like a man, okay, and dress like a man, and then I show up to a voting poll, my poll location, with an ID that's a woman, and they go, oh, you look like a man. Although I doubt they would say that. I don't know how far I can pass as a man. But I'd be like, oh, that seems like it's my issue, not your issue. Because we want election integrity and we want to make sure that we can validate who people are based on what they are presenting as and what their ID shows. Now, I'd love to see post-election stats and numbers about how many trans people have been turned away from polls.
Exactly.
Because they're not addressing that at all. She didn't say 200,000 trans people were turned away from their polling location when they arrived with their ID. All she said is 200,000 trans people do not have an identification card that matches the identity that they chose, which means nothing and is a non-issue, assuming that they're all going to their polling location and voting. And you can vote by mail now. So what is the issue?
This whole segment just reeked of like something scripted. And again, we talk about catastrophization. It's like making an issue that's just not really an issue.
Right.
Because like you said, where's the evidence that someone has with an ID who is presenting as a different sex is denied at the polls? Now, that may have happened on but I imagine it's a very small scale that they wouldn't even want to have that be the basis of this report. And also, to your point earlier, like, you know, I just got married last year. My wife had to change her name. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to, chose to.
But I made her change her name.
But when we fly, like, you know, you have to change it everywhere. And she was traveling with her new name ID, but hadn't updated in the system somewhere or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she had to be prepared with both, and she had to go through the process and get and be prepared to present the appropriate ID and anyways, so she had to go through that. And if you as a trans person have that opportunity and haven't done it, like, then
right,
yeah, that's on you as well.
It's literally on you, and you do have the chance to
legally change
your name.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what the concern is here. Are trans people being turned away? We don't have numbers on that yet, but I'm going to go and probably say that that's not what's going to happen. And if it does happen, it'll happen very seldomly. Okay. Are they just afraid of being dead named, or they find that that's offensive, that they don't want to use their old name? And if that's the case, that's a you problem, not the problem of the polling location or of voting. Or, you know, is it just that we want to launch another attack on voter ID so that people don't have to use it? I venture to say it's number three, because they keep trying. They keep trying. And if this one doesn't work out and it doesn't work with trans rights, then they'll find some other reason that voter ID is racist, sexist, ableist. I don't know. They'll come up with an excuse, because I think there's a vested interest in not having people identify themselves in an election year. And we know that to be true. So we'll move on. If you guys can think of any other reasons why this might be a problem for trans people, I would love to know. And I will definitely hear you out. But I've heard nothing substantiated in this video. And it just seems like a boogeyman, for lack of a better word.
Another NBC L. And it's interesting that this the energy here is something is happening that really isn't happening, whereas Joy Reid's energy with the first story was something isn't happening, inflation and things being unaffordable,
yep.
when it is. And so it's like they're literally trying to gaslight you both ways.
It's just all they deny, gaslight. That's literally it.
Who watches this stuff, honestly?
It's there's nothing positive to run on. There's nothing that they can say, we did this and now you are better off. That's it. They have Roe v. Wade to say, we did Roe v. Wade. We tried to fight for you when it came to Roe v. Wade and we lost that battle. So that's something that we tried to do for you guys. But they have nothing else positive to report to you. So they go, bad people. And boogeyman, also, your concerns are not real. They're not happening. I've never heard of that. You must be watching Fox News. So how far is that going to get them? I don't know. And speaking of LGBTQ boogeymanning, here is another NBC News article. And the title is Far-Right Figures Appear to Be Testing Twitter's Boundaries for Anti-LGBTQ Speech. Elon Musk, the new owner of Twitter, has billed himself as a champion of free speech and vowed to prevent Twitter from becoming a free-for-all hellscape. Let's read. In the few days since Elon Musk closed his deal to buy Twitter, far-right users have started to celebrate what they hope will be the ability to freely use homophobic and transphobic rhetoric and make threats on the social media platform. Made up terms.
That's not reading into it at all. Far-right users have started to celebrate what they hope will be the ability. You're reading that into it. This is not reporting.
On Saturday, former UFC fighter Jake Shields, who has over 340,000 Twitter followers, appeared to be testing the boundaries of the company's moderation apparatus by posting a photo of a drag queen smiling at a young drag performer with the caption, "This is a groomer." Shields added, quote, "I was suspended for this exact tweet a month ago, so we will see if Twitter is now free." Great test, in my opinion. Something we all should be doing is testing the bounds of our speech. Not to say that we should be saying things that we don't believe or purposefully being inflammatory, but if there's something that you truly believe that you've been incapable of expressing on the platform before, now's a good time to test whether or not you can do that. Now's a good time to test whether or not Musk and this new team that he's going to be ushering in are actually going to uphold the free speech absolutism that he claims to want to uphold. So yeah, you're going to see a lot of far right. That's their own characterization of people. But you're going to see a lot of people who have been held back from saying what they want to say on the platform coming forth and saying, hey, I couldn't say this 2 months ago. What about now? Duh. Duh. This is what happens when you censor people. What are you expecting? It's like, oh no, I opened the dog's cage and the dog ran out of the cage.
Exactly. Breaking. People say things that you might find offensive on the internet.
Right.
Like, that's not a news story. It shouldn't be. But that just speaks to they're so used to having a stranglehold on what on permissible speech. You can only say what they're allowed to say. You can only use the words that they say that you're allowed to use. You can only support the narratives that they approve of. And now that Elon's thrown that out the window, they're just grasping at straws to try to say, oh, well, now it's just this place filled with hate and stuff. It's like a place, a free world has people that you can find that are jerks and a-holes and say mean things. But mm-hmm. the alternative to trying to clamp down and suppress freedom is we've seen how that ends, and it's much, much worse.
Exactly. And then they go and quote Matt Walsh and try to get upset with him, saying, because he tweeted out, laws are changing and public opinion is changing. We have done all of this intentionally. It was all part of the plan we laid out and executed. And they're like, this is an anti-trans plan, anti-LGBTQ plan. This is really important. Laws are changing, which means within the systems that virtually all of us have agreed upon, lawmakers are deciding that certain things are not okay. In many states, it's going to be transitioning children. That's going to be deemed to be not okay, and I hope very rapidly in the coming days. So that means our systems are working, right? It means we're coming to a consensus on things, and public opinion is changing. And NBC News is upset about public opinion changing. They're upset about individuals being exposed to information that changes their minds on particular subjects. And this is why they've relied on Twitter, because they know they have a stranglehold on the American mind and on public opinion. If you don't release certain information to the public, guess what? they won't have that information. And you effectively and immediately have a grasp on the public opinion, and you can shape it and mold it in whatever way you see fit. And suddenly Elon opens up the floodgates and goes, hey, now we're all able to share our arguments. Now we're all able to say our piece. And people go, oh, that is actually BS, what I was reading last week. I actually don't agree with that. And they go, oh, public opinion is changing. We can't have it. Code red, code red.
You know, this reminds me of, like, this is probably how the Catholic Church felt during the Reformation. It's like, oh no, the people are getting scripture in their own language.
Right.
How are we going to be able to control them?
Right.
Same energy.
It is the same exact energy, but they don't want it. They would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
They would agree with that. They're too scared to have a comparison like that drawn against them, and you would be banned off Twitter for saying that.
Might
in
be.
Their world. Might be.
Yeah, the idea that more people have access to just information and the ability to speak, if that scares you, then you're probably on the wrong side of things.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. If you are scared of other people sharing their opinions, it's probably because you don't feel as though yours are that sound.
Exactly.
That you've been pulling the wool over people's eyes for a really long time, which is why they're so aggressive in teaching their ideology to children, because children are incapable of advocating for themselves and incapable of shaping critical thinking in these arguments and responding with critical thinking skills, even though they're really not, because I've seen a lot of kids be like, that's not a girl. So kids do know.
Out of the mouths of babes, as they say.
Kids say the darndest things. So they're not totally incapable, but they certainly are far more vulnerable than adults are. And they're just scared across the board of you learning what it is that they already know and they've been hiding from you.
If your BS is so transparently BS that a kid can call it out, then maybe it's time for you to hand over the keys and just like, okay, you guys had your run. It's over. And this is right. Public opinion has turned against you, and it should.
Yes, it very well should. And Elon Musk is not done yet. Here is the article out of the Daily Wire. Read it. Elon Musk sends blunt message to 3,700 fired Twitter employees. Elon Musk, the incoming owner of the social media platform.
I lost it for a second, but we're still good.
Okay, good. Notified thousands of employees whether they would be staying at the company or departing.
Oh, there it goes. Shit.
My gosh. We always have the screen go up. Uh-huh. Okay. So Elon Musk essentially has dismissed 3,700 employees out of the 7,500 employees at Twitter. It says some managers had been asked to create lists of employees to fire, with the layoffs slated to occur before employees are scheduled to receive stock benefits as part of their compensation. The first email, included in full below, informed fired employees that they would no longer have access to Twitter systems and can expect information about their severance packages within a week. Although they are no longer expected to work, the employees will still receive compensation and benefits through January. I'm very curious. I don't know that he'll ever come out with what his strategy in firing these employees are, but it seems as though, as far as what we've seen on Twitter, that he's fired the entire content creation team, like the curators of what you see on Twitter, which in my opinion is a great move considering what they've been doing thus far in their work at Twitter.
Does this mean we're not going to have the Fursuit Friday trend every weekend anymore?
Unless the furries are doing that on their own.
Organically?
Is it trending today?
It trends every Friday. I've told you this before. I'm like 99% sure that this is what the content curation team has been doing at Twitter, is forcing Fursuit Friday to trend, which is where people dress up like animals and identify as such or whatever. Mm-hmm. They make that trend every weekend. So if that's what's going out the window with the content curation team, I'm not too worried about it.
We'll have to check in next week. If Fursuit Friday is trending next week, then we know the community is just big enough to do it on their own. And that's even
and
more
that might
terrifying.
Even be more of a problem.
That's worse. Dude, that is so much worse. So yeah, he fired that content curation team or creator team, and they're essentially responsible for creating the layouts on Twitter, making things trend, choosing which headlines go out. So
adding context is a big one to headlines.
Yes. And, you know, checking people and saying, oh, this is what this actually means. So bye, Felicia. Here's a cardboard box. No, I feel bad. You got laid off from your job, but also you should have done your job better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or picked a different career path that wasn't enforcing biased policies that squash out people who that you disagree with.
And I'll try to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that probably not all of them were engaging in that sort of behavior. And maybe some of them were leaning conservative and seeing the problems and recognizing that. But I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't think this is the day necessarily to, like, you know, dance on their graves metaphorically or say, like, oh, you lost your job, ha, ha, ha. But it's also like, hey, the company was poorly run. Y'all were doing some bad stuff. People didn't like it. And it has new ownership in town, new sheriff in town, and they're going to shake things up. And that's his right to do so. So, and we are here in the big picture for that.
Yep. Yeehaw. New sheriff. New South African sheriff. Okay, where are we moving to? Oh, yeah. So we did that article, right, about the far-right figures appear to be testing Twitter's boundaries for anti-LGBTQ speech. So they're accusing us of just attacking LGBTQ people now on Twitter. And it's interesting because the guy who wrote this article for NBC reached out to Libs of TikTok. We all know Libs of TikTok. We're a fan of that Twitter account who constantly supplies us with just crazy videos that are being shared all over the internet. And she tweeted out and said, "You can't make this up. Matt Levitz, from NBC, reached out to me for comment 15 hours after the hit piece on me was published. This is journalism." And here's him reaching out and saying, "Hi, I hope you're well. I'm writing this piece. Do you have anything you'd like to say on the topic? Looking forward to hearing from you." And she said, "Hi, Matt. Unfortunately, you have pronouns in your Twitter bio, which automatically tells me I can't take you seriously. Good luck with your story."
Which is the perfect response. I needed to like keep that copied and pasted.
Dude, she's giving flames. After she's been doxed and all that stuff, she's like
gotten even better.
Scorched earth, as Taylor would say.
Yep. that phrase came to mind. I was like, dang, she used it.
Wow. Going scorched earth. So yeah, 15 hours after you publish the piece, you're hey.
NBC just setting the gold standard in journalism with this guy publishing a hit piece and messaging people after asking if they want any comments.
Brilliant.
Joy Reid, assuming Americans don't know what inflation means.
Wonderful.
The show that we watched, what was it called again? The New Amsterdam show.
New Amsterdam.
NBC is just on a tear.
Do we have more? We have more.
Oh, but wait. There's more. If you call now.
You'll get more BS from NBC. We covered the Paul Pelosi story, which for those of you who are unfamiliar, Paul Pelosi is the husband of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. He was apparently attacked in their home while Nancy Pelosi was away by an attacker who he claimed to not know, and the news claimed that he did not know. And then we found out through recordings of the police responding to the call that he did know and actually referred to the guy who attacked him as a man, his friend. He said, "My friend David," according to the police officers on the tape. And David DePape has subsequently been arrested and is now dealing with this whole debacle after attacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer. But NBC News came about and reported on this, which would have been good reporting. This would have been an applause for NBC. So let's get into it.
Craig, good morning. When officers arrived here at the Pelosi home exactly a week ago today, they initially didn't have any idea exactly what was going on. They knew they had a high priority call on their hand. What was unclear, what was happening inside the property just behind me.
This morning, Paul Pelosi is home, back at the house that became a crime scene a week ago today. NBC News learning new details about the moments police arrived. Sources familiar with what unfolded in the Pelosi residence now revealing when officers responded to the high priority call, they were seemingly unaware they'd been called to the home of the Speaker of the House. After a knock and announce, the front door was opened by Mr. Pelosi. The 82-year-old did not immediately declare an emergency or try to leave his home, but instead began walking several feet back into the foyer toward the assailant and away from police. It's unclear if the 82-year-old was already injured or what his mental state was, say sources. According to court documents, when the officer asked what was going on, defendant smiled and said everything's good. But instantaneously, a struggle ensued as police clearly saw David DePape strike Paul Pelosi in the head with a hammer. After tackling the suspect, officers rushed to Mr. Pelosi, who was lying in a pool of blood.
What we do know is he brutally attacked Mr. Pelosi and attempted to kill him.
After spending several days in the ICU, Pelosi, who is recovering from a fractured skull and serious injuries to his arm and hand, is now home, where Capitol Police remain on alert. Investigators have previously said Pelosi did not know DePapp when the 42-year-old broke into his home. Why Pelosi didn't try to flee or tell responding officers he was in distress is unclear.
Fear takes over. Fear freezes people.
This morning, the 82-year-old, lucky to be alive after an intruder nearly killed him in his own home.
I'm so confused. I'm really so confused.
Which is the appropriate response.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole point is, and why NBC deleted this video after putting it out, is because it shows that, hey, this is a complicated situation, which obviously horrible for Paul Pelosi that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it unfolded leaves a lot of questions, and it's not this clear cut and dry narrative that the media was very eager to run with as soon as it happened, which was this is a MAGA Republican viciously attacking a Democratic person's husband.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, we wouldn't be talking about this story if they didn't run with the narrative that this is a MAGA Republican and they're fueling a political divide in this country and attacking people of prevalence in the United States of America in order to bring about another coup and an insurrection and all these things. That's the narrative that they ran with. But it seems like the waters have been muddied. I don't think they got into who broke this open.
Yeah, I saw conflicting reports on that, too, that the police did it from the outside after they saw something, or but then someone said the glasses on the inside, that never happens. I mean, there's so many different layers to this.
Yeah.
But again, you can't draw clear conclusions from, which is the whole point.
Exactly.
Other than this was a crazy person that was in this man's house.
Yeah, which is like, why are you calmly opening the door?
Exactly.
And why are you moving towards somebody who's trying to attack you rather than moving towards police officers? Why not open the door and escape if you feel like your life is in danger? Why would you not let police officers know that you are in distress as soon as you open the door when they arrived? Why was it that somebody else called the police, which I believe it was, a wellness check?
Yeah, whatever that means.
Which means like, hey, can you come check on this guy? Either A, I think something's going on, or I haven't heard from him in a while. Can you please send out police officers to check what's going on? That's what a wellness check is. So clearly, either A, somebody has a normal interaction with Paul Pelosi and didn't have that interaction, is like, where is this guy at? Or B, heard something from the house and is like, hey, what's going on in there? Maybe I should call the police. I don't know. There's a lot of different reasons somebody could place a call like that. But, dude, it's not adding up. The math is not mathing for me.
And why does if this guy's a MAGA Republican, why does he live at a residence with a BLM flag and a pride flag with a pot leaf on it?
These are all just questions.
Which is what we should be doing right now, is asking questions and getting and piecing it together as the information comes out. But the media got way out ahead over their skis on this one.
Yeah.
Released this video that showed how they did that and how the narrative is more complicated than the one they were pushing. And then they went and deleted this video from everywhere it was posted online, including like the Today Show's Twitter feed and other places.
Because they're like, yeah, that did not achieve what we were trying to achieve. Which, now we have more ammunition and they've copied the video. They have it. And now they can put it out to more people. That's all they're thinking. They're like, damn, we did good journalism for once. And now people can utilize it against us.
Which the irony. Yeah, they finally did good journalism and they have to retract it. But meanwhile, you know, we preface this story with their LGBTQ reporter writing a hit piece and messaging people 6 hours for comment, 6 hours after it's already published. The Standard and Joy Reid's inane comments.
It's a mess.
They're so bad when they do good journalism, it's by accident.
You're right. NBC, you need to clean your room. There's a lot going on there.
Get it together.
You can't do good work until you clean your room. So I feel about it. And guys, that's it as far as NBC fails on today's show. We stacked you up. I think there was like five all within this week. So.
Yeah, I didn't even mention the voter ID law thing. Whew.
Yeah, you guys got plenty of ammunition for this. And of course, we're all going to see how things pan out over this weekend. We won't do a lot of reporting on midterm elections because we'll all be taking it in. We'll all be seeing it. We'll all know what's going down. Of course, we'll have our commentary here and there, but that's not the job we do here. We don't tell you how to vote, who to vote for, what to do with your life. We just talk about breaking stories.
Call it
hot
we
takes,
see it.
Culture. and call it like we see it. Not call her daddy. Mm. Call it like we see it. Let's get into Super Chats. Got a few for today. Okay. This one is from Anthony. I'm a 49-year-old white man, so my white fragility is here to buy your BP2WF ticket. I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I hope it's not dirty.
Did I just say something strange out loud? Yeah. You're an important hope-giving voice. You will inspire the change we need.
Oh, Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever.
Ah! Which I do have to see.
Yeah, we're going to react to it after it comes out, if you guys want to see it.
Thank you. And thank you, Anthony. Says, I hope you get rich doing it. God bless. Thank you so much. We really appreciate the super chat, and I will let you know how that movie is. I'm not going to pass judgment. Might be good. Might be very, very good.
Open-minded here.
Open-minded over here. D1987, thank you for your super chat. What do you guys think of Kanye's alleged anti-Semitic tweets and Candace Owens' right to defend Kanye's tweets saying they were not anti-Semitic? We're not going to get too in-depth into this discussion because it's a little bit too fiery, too flamey for what's going on right now. And I'm going to wait to see how things play out. But I do think... like, Kanye's back on Twitter. There's space for free speech. We can argue what's covered by free speech, but I'm a free speech absolutist, and I do think he has a right to say what he's going to say. And I do think the response towards this has been particularly harsh. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter. We might delve into it as the story develops, but we also might not, because we've talked about Kanye for, like, I don't know how many. I think feel like we did 3 videos in a row with Kanye, and this story continues to develop. So we'll let you guys know, but I don't know. It just keeps getting weirder and weirder every single day, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. All right. Angie Garcia. Hey, have you guys listened to Tom McDonald? Super controversial rapper, but would be great to discuss his music and maybe have him as a guest. Y'all want a really hot take? I do not like Tom McDonald. I do not think he's a good rapper.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe... Actually, I've never heard of this person, so... take your word for it.
He's a rapper who raps about, like, he's clearly, like, open, free thinker, probably a little... probably right-leaning, anti-censorship and all this stuff, and talks about, like, race relations and all that fun stuff. I'm not a fan. I support the message. I think the message in his rap music is great. But it's just not as good as... typical rap music. I'm not gonna lie.
And if you're offended by Amala's stance, that's her free speech.
That
you're
is free my speech free
absolutist
speech.
Here. So.
Don't cancel me. Don't cancel me for saying that. Yeah, no, I don't like him at all.
I'll give it a shot. I don't know.
Maybe we'll react to his music. Is that mean? Because I already know I don't like it to react to his music in a stream.
I don't probably then if you know you don't like it.
Yeah.
You should
but maybe
go.
We should just
reacting to
Taylor.
Things better. You're starting neutral. It's like if you already know you don't like Black Panther, then maybe don't watch it. Or then don't plan That's a show true. To react to it. But.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, not a fan of Tom McDonald, but thank you so much for your super chat. I hope I did not disappoint
sure
you.
Sure, he's a great guy. Sounds
sure
wonderful.
He is a great guy. He does
Love
have great
his
values. His values and the music is great. The music itself questionable. Anyways, guys. Did I miss any super chats?
There's a few.
Who did I miss?
Here's Celestial Kawamoto. Stumbled on your videos 2 weeks ago and have been watching all of your lives while at work. Love your content and thank you for all you and Taylor do.
And Taylor.
Even included Taylor. Wow.
Thank
I'm like,
you guys.
You're a real fan if you actually like know my name because
which
I'm
people
very
approach him.
On these.
People approach him. He's getting it more and more now.
Yeah, it's happened like twice.
What's up,
so
Taylor? It's happened more than twice. It's definitely happened more than twice. It's happened at least 5 times.
Yeah, it's fine. I know my place here.
What else did I miss?
Mauna Kalia says,
yes.
Who always is talking with us. And
yes,
is
thank
us
you
super
so much. Out. You're so sweet.
She says, in America, you need to prove your identity in many situations, buying a gun, buying prescription medicines, etc. That's why it's absurd that voters don't need to prove identity when they vote.
Can you hear my snaps, my ASMR snaps? You're absolutely right. Thank you. I didn't even need to rebut their argument because you did it for me. There's so many different instances where you need an ID. And we're all perfectly capable of doing that. So,
mic drop. One more from Daisy. Can you guys make an episode about car bans and public transport? It's very political, and I find I don't agree with a lot of political views on it.
Do you mean car bans like they're trying to get rid of diesel-fueled cars and... like how California's going electric by 2030, so they say.
Yeah, 2035, they're banning cars. I think Europe, just the EU, banned manufacturing new gas-powered cars in 2035 as well.
Right. And then we have a bunch of people who can't afford electric cars. And also, public transportation systems are not ready to handle the amount of people that they're going to be just exiling from being able to commute to their work or to wherever they need to go. So that'll be interesting. If that's what you're talking about, I think we'll get into it. We're going to start probably delving into the environment a little bit as it becomes more of a hot button issue and people are talking about it. We're going to have to dispel a lot of myths and talk about government overreach under the guise of helping the environment. So that'd be something to talk about. I like your suggestion.
Yeah, I love that topic because I think the insane overcommitment and overly aggressive transition, as they like to say, from fossil fuels to other renewable energy sources is a big part of what's driving the global economic meltdown that we're seeing. And for the European Union to ban gas-powered cars in 2035, for California to be doing it now when both of those places are suffering energy crises already, like California can't even keep their power on through a summer heat wave when people turn on their AC, and Europe, the energy bills are already, you know, insane.
Skyrocketing.
Yeah, and so yeah, it is a willful commitment to destruction of the economy.
Taylor's very passionate about energy.
I'm like going on
he sends me all these energy things. I'm like, I don't even understand.
She's like,
what
people are
going to
care about this, but I'm like, dude,
I think
this
people
is what's
care
destroying
about it.
The whole.
I didn't say people didn't care about it. I just think it's like, oh my gosh, the
abstract.
Issue is just like, ugh, what do you mean, nuclear fusion and fission and blah blah blah. I'm like, oh, it's hard. I tried to listen to like the Lex Fridman podcast when he had on some nuclear physicist, and I was just like,
well, you don't have to get so in the weeds of it. It's just like, we have a solution for this madness, and yet we're ignoring that solution because we don't want a solution. We want to tear down capitalism. And
as Greta Thunberg said very recently, which
and all
we all knew that.
Mashed potato throwing insufferable activists who are super gluing themselves to things.
Right.
That's what they're all about.
Yep. BS, guys. It's BS. But we'll be here to cover it. We will get into that issue, especially because, you know, people are going to be talking about it. There's no doubt about it. We're all being affected by it. I think that's it for Super Chats today.
I think that is. I don't see any more.
Thank you guys so much for your Super Chats. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much for watching and listening. It is Friday, so we're going into the weekend. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Let me know your plans in the chat down below. And of all of these fails, which one was the worst for you? Drop that in the comments down below after we finish the stream. And I'd love to go through and listen to what you guys have to say. Also, were you guys aware of what inflation was before the Republican fearmongers told you what the word meant? Let me know in the comments down below. Guys, thank you so much for watching. This has been NPC, NBC News. Have a good night.